This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 10th WGN show. We started promptly at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We got 3 hours to spend together, and as usual, I've got plenty to talk about, but I defer to you in every way, shape, or form. Now, I gotta admit, today was one of those days, and I know you've had them, where I had a whole host of things listed for me to do today, and I did virtually none of them, and boy, I do mean none of them. It was just terrible. I think I filed one annual report to the state of Arizona or something tax-wise, but that's all I did. Everything else went by the wayside, and I had really wanted to group my thoughts well for the Manhattans, since I've been promising for so long we'd do a little bit of their history. Well, first thing is that I decided I'd print out my notes that I had online, because I got notes, right? On my laptop. A lot of notes. And so it was I printed. Eventually, I ran out of paper. Over 200 pages later, I ran out of paper, and I thought, you know, probably tonight we'll just do the Manhattans on Carnival. Yeah, their early years, since the show is only 3 hours long. And after all, the Carnival period, with the exception of a couple singles on Deluxe, but the Carnival period is really what made the Manhattans for me. So tonight we will, I promise, discuss the early history of the Manhattans, which is a fascinating one. Sadly, none of the original group members are alive. Edward Sonny Bivens, died on December 3rd of 2014. And Winfred Blue Lovett, this died about 6 days later, December 9th of 2014. And then Wally Kelly died 2 months later, about February 17th of 2015. Now, of course, sorry to say that George Smitty Smit died in 1970, and that was a real crushing loss for the group, but nonetheless. And there was one other member of the original. Usually that's who you hear, the original members, but there was another one, and that's Ricky Taylor. And Ricky Taylor died in 1987, but he left the group in 1976. He had converted to Islam. But the five who began, George Smith, Richard Taylor, they both went to Snyder High in Jersey City, and Blue Lovett, Kenny Kelly, and Ed Bivens, Sonny, they all went to Lincoln High in Jersey City. So it's a Jersey City story, and we will tell it. All right. Oh, yes, they sung before the Manhattans, and oh, yes, I've got the evidence to prove it. Yeah, you'll see what I mean. But in the meantime, Tom in Covington wants in on the X. So Tom, welcome to WGN Radio. What's up tonight? Hello, Tom. You know, I never know what happens with Tom. I'm sure he has the best intentions, but as usual, his phone has left him, so we'll put him on hold there. We'll also get to James on the South Side, who sent, as usual, a ton of stories, and I didn't even get a chance to review any of today's submissions, but he does that. Between him and Carol does the world's best show prep for me. I'm pretty much prepped to go, although you'd never know it from this particular show. Yeah, that's for sure. New Moon is January 21st. First next week. Marianne Winkowski is Thursday, January 19th next week. So that's a week from Thursday. So, by the way, later in the week, we will talk about the Whispers, probably tomorrow, actually. Gordy Harmon just died. And of course, he'd been out of the group since 73, but the early stuff, and that's my stuff that I just love on Dory. He was front and center for all of that. So we'll talk about that. But we'll definitely get to the Manhattans. And John says, all right. So Tom is now prepped and ready to go. All right, Tom. I don't know where you go, but here you are now. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question that maybe you can answer.
Okay. I'll try.
A few years ago, I had read about some new form of modulation on AM radio that would really make the signal a lot louder. And I noticed one station that's apparently using it, and it makes a big improvement in the reception, and that's WSM in Nashville.
Boy.
And it allows them to, I don't know what percentage they can go over 100%, but it's, they can push it well over 100%.
Well, when you say super modulation, the theories I know go back to 1950. So that's nothing new. They were writing about this in the late 40s before I was reading much of anything. And in fact, there's a piece online, you can find it, Understanding Supermodulation. And in terms of that, I don't know that there's anything new to this. I'm trying to think to what you might be referring. So
I haven't heard any other station using this, but it really does make them boom in over compared to what they used to be. They were sort of loafing along on standard modulation, and unless the signal was coming in real strong, they were kind of in a soup. But why'd they come in over the soup now?
I don't know. Like I say, the only supermodulation I know was Taylor supermodulation, and that goes back to 1950, and I have not heard anything since. So I've got to guess do some research, because I don't know, because I know you're not talking about that. So
well, I thought you might know since you have been in radio for a long time. Thought you might know something about it.
Well, I'm unaware of it in current terms. You see, that's what you're asking me again. You know, Taylor supermodulation, everybody kind of knows what that is, but I don't think that is to what you were referring. So, I don't know. So I'm trying to think. Let's see what I can tell you. Now, Amex, AMEX, that was something for a while, but I don't think that's it either. All right, well, I will look around, and maybe somebody else knows more than I do about super modulation, because, like I say, Taylor, that was 1950, so there's probably something more recent that of which I'm not aware, and I should be, so shame on me.
Now, is it possible for you to hear WSM out there?
No.
I'm not sure.
No. Absolutely not. So that...
They sure do come in over everything else, whatever they're using.
Right.
I didn't hear them say anything about it. I just noticed a few days ago listening to them, and they were booming in a lot louder than usual, and that's not because of Skip.
Oh. Well, they're probably doing something, and I will see, because if they are, I'm sure they've been crowing about it online as well, and I will see what I can do to find out. All right? I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay. I just thought you might have some idea since you've been in radio so long.
Well, I understand that, but I don't know what they're doing today that would be different than what they did, say, 10 years ago. So, you know, I've got to research that.
Okay.
Like I say, if they're doing something, I'm sure that somebody is crowing about it, and so I'll try to find it. But so I don't know. I'm looking right now real quickly, and nothing's popping up.
Okay. So. Well, thanks for trying, and I'll see if anybody comes up with anything.
Well, and I promise I will put this on the list of things to think about and see what I can find out.
Okay, that's the only one I hear doing it is WSM in Nashville, and it really
right.
They really pop through now.
All right, well, fellow DXers, others of you on the East Coast or the Midwest who might know, tell us. And we'll maybe get an answer, or like I say, I'll try to look it up. All right, thanks. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, well, thanks.
Sure thing. Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. But it is interesting when suddenly you'll hear something louder. Then, of course, there are times you will hear something not louder at all, and that is going to bring us to TJ in DeKalb, who we'll get to in a moment, because he had asked about WoWo a few weeks ago, and oh, what a sad story that is. So all that and more, if it's on your mind, we'll talk to Sherry in Naperville, and James on the south side on his links, and we'll get to the Manhattans too, I promise, all this and more, yes, on a somewhat, well, like I say, convoluted show, because it's just been one of those convoluted days on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you can interrupt the show as the mood might strike you. It's just about anything is up for grabs. This, of course, is the Manhattans, and we're going to talk about them. This is the flip side of their second single on Carnival, Call Somebody Please. That was my fave. Blue wrote it. The A-side, Sonny wrote There Goes a Fool. In 1964, it didn't chart, but the first one that did chart came right after that, and we'll talk about that. But in the meantime, I thought Call Somebody Please was just a terrific record. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And TJ in DeKalb called back, so hey, TJ, thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you for taking my call, and I called up to find out about WoWo.
Yes.
And if you had any information about AMAC.
Yeah, we can talk about both of those. But first, let's talk about WoWo, which, you know, was just such a wonderful radio station owned by Group W for years. And the heritage there is second to none. Even in the 70s, when Ron Gregory did early evenings, and Chris Roberts did afternoons, and Carol Ford did overnights. I mean, this was just a tremendous radio station. Well, Group W ultimately decided they were going to sell it. And so they did. They actually at first sold it to Bob Price. And Bob Price was an interesting guy because he had been a senior vice president of Lazare Ferret. His take annually was $2 million a year plus his bonus, which was even bigger. And he walked away from the investment bank because he wanted to be a broadcaster in a fit of insanity, to say the least. And one of the early stations that he bought in 1982 was WoWo. He paid $6 million for it. And that ended the 46-year reign of Westinghouse Broadcasting there. All right, so Bob ran it. Some might unkindly say he ran it into the ground, but that was not the problem. The problem came when Inner City, 12 years later, bought it from Bob. And when you think Inner City and you think about stations, you know, urban stations and all that, you say to yourself, why would they want Fort Wayne? Well, they didn't. What they wanted was to degrade WoWo's signal, because Inner City had WLIB in New York, the Lobito of Harlem, and it always had signal problems. So the idea that they could, in fact, do a deal where they lessened that 1190 signal of WoWo to 10,000 watts, then they could get New York coverage at night, so it wouldn't be a rundown at sundown kind of deal. And so that's what they did. Now, to tell you how much they didn't want to operate this radio station, they made a deal with Federated Media to be the operating partner. And ultimately, it was sold. But and then Federated moved it and all that kind of stuff. But the deal was that WoWo went from 50,000 watts to 10,000 watts because they wanted to increase WLIB in New York.
Wow.
You know, you see this from time to time. You know, like you look 1190, let's talk about their frequency. You look at things like KEX in Portland and Kesey and Anaheim. You know, I mean, you do see these. These kind of, and of course, the most famous was when WBT, at the time they were owned by a Buick dealer who swore the call letter stood for Watch Buick Travel. And of course, they didn't early on, but he adopted that. But, you know, the Buick dealer figured he didn't need to sell cars all over the country. So he sold off half of WBT. Beautiful 1A signal to KFAB in Omaha. The problem today is that Charlotte has grown, and WBT 1110 will not even cover Gastonia. So they're, of course, have an FM translator for that. But this happens, and that's what happened to WoWo. It was very sad, but one day you heard them, and the next day you didn't.
Wow. What format do they have now, or do you know?
Oh, I'm sure that it is some form of news talk, don't you think?
Yeah, I remember, I think it was a year or so ago, I was listening during critical hours, and WoWo did come on with their, they were using production from TM.
Oh, well, that you know, could, like, you know, the, yeah, like, jingles and stuff like that, sure. But they're news talk, and they still, their logo is still, the WoWo, the way it's written, is still kind of like the old Group W. You know, I think that a lot of it now is syndicated stuff, you know, the Mark Levins and Sean Hannity's and Glenn Beck's of the world. I don't know how much local they do, if anything. Sadly. So, you know, gone are the glory days. That's for sure. But I'll tell you, man, even into the mid-70s, that radio station was just hopping.
It was rocking, really.
Yeah, it was. It was a terrific, terrific, you know, even Jay Gould, the farm director and all that. I mean, it was just obviously, arguably, within the top three or four stations in Indiana, you know, like the WIBCs of Indianapolis and WoWo, you know, certainly would be up there. In fact, I'd put them and IBC hand in hand at the, you know, biggest things that happened to Indiana radio on that scale. You know, and so, you know, the Bob Seavers of the world, sure. And the world famous fire escape.
Yeah. Is WDIA still on the air? I've been
in
trying
Memphis?
To pick them up, and it's a big pileup of stations. And I used to be able to get them real good.
You're talking about on 1070, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, WIBC is on that frequency, too, but they are directional at night. So, yeah, DIA is still on the air. And you know, as far as I know, they haven't done anything with wattage. But who knows? I could look that up for you. I'll see if they changed any wattage stuff. But I think they're just humming along.
Okay, then I thought WIVC was off the air.
Oh, it is now. It is off the air. It is absolutely off the air. Yeah, they sold the tower site. You know how that is. Unfortunately, I know. Breaks my heart. So, yes, no doubt about that they are not on the air. And that's just, I never thought I'd live to see.
That's bad, too.
Well, I never thought I'd live to see the day, but time marches on. So let's look at WDIA's, I'm looking at their coverage maps now. Let's see their nighttime coverage. Well, of course, it's only 50,000 watts in the day, but at night, it's 5,000. It's not in your favor, I'll say that. You would do a better job of picking it up if you were in Mississippi than north. They do have a couple nodes to the north, but nothing great. It's hard. It'd be a very hard catch for you on 1070. Mm-hmm. Now let's see what else.
I used to pick it up when I was in vacationing in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yes.
During critical hours you could get it. But then they changed their pattern.
Yes, and they did. Obviously, their goal is to fully cover Memphis. You know, clearly, anything else is just up for grabs. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'm blowing the news. Stay right where you are. I'll try to be better at formatics. Good luck to me on that. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
You made a promise, and you broke it. Love you like I do. Ooh, I feel so bad.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that is the Manhattans, and that's actually on Columbia. 1976 came out on the Manhattans album, a single as well. Got to number 10 on the R&B charts, but only 97 on the pop charts. And Blue had said, we tried on each of our albums to go back and get a couple of tunes and standards, and that's what our vision was. And Hurt was very big in Europe and Canada, and indeed it was. And so there you have it. Of course, most of us know Hurt because of Timmy Euro, but of course, originally Roy Hamilton in 1954. Yeah, well, Timmy Euro, I think, is still just the ultimate version of it. And but everybody from Elvis to Little Anthony did Hurt. So 888-876-5593, and we're talking to TJ in DeKalb. Sorry for the interruption. Back to you. Are we ready to go to Amex, or are we talking about something else?
Amex.
Okay. I'm surprised you even know about it. Because it was a certification program and started around 1990 or so, and the NAB and the EIA both thought that this was a good way to help AM stations, and we're really talking more about the receivers, because what they were going for is a wide audio bandwidth, and they were looking for, you know, like 7,500 hertz for home and, I don't know, 6,500 for portables or something. You know, with bandwidth controls. So you could have the two settings of narrow and wide, and some of the Bob Crane receivers have that, and it's really, really nice. And so the receiver standards were, you know, it was NRSC 1, so obviously they were looking for, you know, low distortion, low harmonics, and attenuation of the whistle heterodyne and all that kind of stuff. And the radios had to have a jack for an AM antenna, and you had to be able to get the E-band, you know, the 1610 to 1700, and for autos it had to have, you know, some type of noise suppression. And so what they were looking for is a unified standard for pre-emphasis and distortion on the radio side, on the station side. And so everybody kind of said, this is great, because after all, we want to try to do something with AM and, gee, long-forgotten quality of quality, actually, you know. And as you know, most of the AM audio chains had turned to mud over the years. So this was thought that if you had Amex-certified receivers that, like the GE Super Radio 3, you would do very well. Well, very few receiver manufacturers cared, because of course it might have cost another dime or so to the AM section, and by the 90s, who was listening to that? And so you looked at the radios, and maybe there was 100 to choose from, and maybe 3 of them were AM stereo capable, let alone AMEX. And you know, then of course the AM stereo debacle, as you know, because no standardization of type. So whether you had the Kahn system or the Motorola Sequama or whatever, so in any event, it went away, and the general public never cottoned onto it, and that was it.
I had a little Sony pocket AM stereo radios. Mm-hmm. And they 1360 out here was using the signal there for they like I you could tune in just right, and they would sound like a FM station. Mm-hmm. The quality was that good.
Well, it requires two things. It requires the station to first and foremost clean up their audio chain. You know, it's funny, when AM stereo first debuted, I laughed and said, okay, now you get static in both ears, because the reality is that listeners don't perceive stereo as much as they perceive fidelity, and those are not interchangeable words. And so if you don't clean up that audio chain, which has been junked since the 60s, it doesn't really matter that you're now going to try for signal separation. So that was a big problem. The other thing is, of course, the standardization. Not standardizing a format was just terrible. And then the third, the real death knell also was marketing of it, because when people would say AM stereo, they say, well, I've got an AM-FM stereo radio. They would assume that that meant AM and FM stereo, which of course it meant AM and FM stereo. But there wasn't a lot of understanding that that was somehow different. And then of course, when you're talking about AM stereo and you start to get into, you know, like you talk about the critical hours, and especially when you get into skywave pattern at night, oh man, AM stereo is not your friend. Yeah, not as bad as IBOC, but not your friend. So and it went away. But you know, every time we have these discussions, and if you've listened to me long enough, you know this, I say this is a discussion of the delivery truck. When you order something from Amazon, you don't look to see what the truck was that brought it. You want to know what's in the package. Well, what's in the package? Right. What's in the package is programming. And I guarantee you, if you have non-duplicable programming that people can hear that they can't hear anywhere else, they'll listen to you. They'll find you. Right. Now, of course, if it's AM and it's something that is duplicable, like a music mix or something like that, you know, you're going to get killed when somebody tries it on FM, and eventually we'll have that discussion when somebody's streaming it online. But if you have something that can't be duplicated, you know, like Howard Stern back in the day or Rush Limbaugh back in the day, it wouldn't have mattered if it was AM or FM. If you wanted to hear that person, you'd listen to wherever he was.
Wherever it was, yeah.
So, so the real discussion is programming. And of course, today, you know, it's not a case of the owners being greedy. It's the owners being desperate. They're literally trying to hang on with debt service that is just out the yin yang. And of course, the first fatality is programming.
Right.
And then that's the death knell. You know, the real challenge is going to be when Wi-Fi radio is as easy to listen to in the car as AM and FM. And yes, I know they've got Wi-Fi and Dash and all that, but still, nothing is as easy as getting in the car, turning on the motor, and turning on the radio. When Wi-Fi is as easy as that, that's when radio has met a challenge, because now you've got thousands of things from which to choose. And of course, the smart stations are already streaming all their content and are looking for ways to do things that is non-duplicable, because, you know, the idea that someone's playing your favorite music, no, if you have access to the internet at large, you'll play your favorite music. You won't listen to a radio station to do that.
Right. You can have your own radio station.
Absolutely. And so we're a ways off for that, because even if cars tomorrow all had this in the dash, you know, people don't go out and buy brand new cars all the time. So I'd say it's a 10-year roll before it's ubiquitous. But you know, for people who aren't long of tooth like me, who are saying, I don't have 10 years, for people who do have 10 years, now's the time to plan for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you ever think it'll be that way where radio will be, you can listen to it on the Internet?
Well, you've seen that happen to television. You know, years ago, one of the commercial stations in Philadelphia had a transmission problem, and just that was it. But of course, they were carried by every cable company in the whole metropolitan area. No one complained. I'm still laughing about that. You know, they were off the air as far as terrestrial for like a month. No one said a word because they were not getting it that way. Now, of course, in low-income areas like where I live in the middle of nowhere, we have TV translators so people can get over-the-air television. And, you know, this is an area that's more than 50% on government assistance. So these are people who, if our translators go down here, we know it. What do? They call the radio station. Where's my TV? Like I'm in charge of that. And, you know, but in areas that aren't dependent on over-the-air because of economics, very few people watch over-the-air television. You know, I say you stop somebody on the street and ask what TV Repack is about, they'll think you came from Mars. But, you know, ask where Channel 7 is on the dial, so to speak. They don't know.
They don't know. And a lot of people I've talked to are all into the streaming now.
Well, right. And as far as for television, sure, because, you know, cable has shot itself in the foot, but I don't think they care, because virtually all the cable companies are now your broadband provider. So they want to sign you up to their internet service. They don't care that you are, right. Because the other thing is, back in the CATV days, before we even called it cable, when it really was just community antenna television and you were importing signals into, you know, low reception areas, the stations were so happy to be carried, they would, you know, they would beg and plead and want it. And ultimately, the FCC had the must carry rule where you had to carry them. And then even the first little networks as satellites were very starting, you know, like Spanish International Network. They, I remember one of the NCTA shows, they gave out SIN pays buttons because the Spanish International Network paid the cable system to carry them. Well, today, of course, with retrans fees being a bulk of the way some of these stations are making their money, it's very expensive for a provider because they're not getting that signal for free anymore. And God knows they're not getting paid unless it's home shopping. And that's why you've got 12 of them on your cable. But So, you know, in terms of that, the cable companies are just thrilled that broadband is where they'll make their money. Now, the streaming services, of course, pick up on that lightning quick, and you've got a ton of them at a greatly reduced rate. But the thing that people cared about, and I think Dish and Direct are going to suffer for this big time, and they're always losing subscribers anyway, is that they really wanted freedom of choice. They didn't want a package. They didn't want to know that they had to pay X number of dollars to get 120 channels, 100 of which they didn't want to see. They wanted to be able to, you know, and so all these, now you can pick and choose. Yes, you can pick and choose, run the gamut from A to C, you know, not A to Z, that's for sure. So the idea that if someone was smart, you would pick and choose. This is what I want to see, and this is what I don't want to see. So yeah, I think, and ultimately, some of the streaming services, of course, are free, but to get the programming you want, you're probably going to pay a fee. It's still reasonable. And we'll see who continues to try and tailor things to the viewer, which, you know, the major players, cable and satellite, they don't. They just package it.
Right. I was, let's see, cable. Nowadays, I've asked people, all my friends, they don't even watch regular the regular cable channels. They watch Netflix and
Well, sure. That's why I say, you know, the terrestrial station could sign off and people wouldn't notice in Chicago.
No, they wouldn't care. All right. Hey, thanks for spending as much time with me as you did, and we'll talk soon.
I'm counting on it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
Baby, you are my life, and without you, I'm an empty shell. There's no house without a home, and there's no man who wants to be alone. There's no child without a dream. Without a meaning, that's how I know there's no me without you. There's no life without a plan. Every woman wants herself a good man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is the first single that Columbia put out on the Manhattans in 1973. And, Sonny wrote it, of course, Sonny Bibbins, and he wrote it for his wife-to-be, Amy. And the one he had five children with. And he was one of Gerald's favorites. Sue Gerald Lawson, of course, replaced Smitty after Smitty died in 1970. And released in April of 73, got to number three on the R&B charts, and was a good run, but it was interesting. Kenny had said, I think it could have been a lot bigger than it was. It could have been another Kiss and Say Goodbye if they put the muscle behind it, which they didn't at that point, because, of course, it was the first single for a group that had been on Carnival and Deluxe. And but Blue said, you know, that's the song that changed things dramatically for us. We made our first trip to California, to the West Coast. We did all the major TV shows, Soul Train, all that. It was a career changer. And Gerald had said, gave us a shot in the arm we needed. It was an international convention in San Francisco. They performed there. It opened a lot of doors for them. It opened up in Europe, and they were able to travel to those places. And, nice B-side as well. So we'll be talking more about the Manhattans next hour, or before the show is over, because I promise we'll do a whole rundown of their Carnival period, which, of course, was the beginning and my absolute favorite. So 888-876-5593. That's going to take us to Sherry in Naperville. How's it going, Sherry?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Okay, before I get to why I called, which is a big kudos for you, but that TJ guy in DeKalb?
Yeah.
I highly suggest you ask for his permission and record one of his wow. and then when you not the beginning of the show, but at the end when you say Raleigh James WGN, you can just stick it in.
Well, there you go. I like it. How's Jimmy doing?
Jimmy, I haven't called him for like 2 weeks. I called him after Christmas, but okay. Not then. And then last week I had Jack, and it's not as bad as we all imagine it would be to help him.
Good, with his carpal tunnel, hand. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the carpal tunnel thing. Mm-hmm. I pictured Captain Hook and being able to do a thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that bad.
Good.
So I've had minimal requests.
Good.
Which is okay. And but anyway, the other thing I was going to say when you were talking to TJ, which I assume is Thomas Stone, but that's a guess, that he, when he mentioned your station, I haven't heard of it, but when you said, well, this one competitor bought this to like kind of erase it, blah, 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 was my impression of what you were talking about.
Well, not a competitor. It's just a strategic move. If you're limited by signal because of another station, if you buy that other station, you can lower their power to increase the station you want to increase.
Okay. But I was going to mention aside to that, I remember these potato chips, you know, like Lay's Ruffles.
Uh-huh.
But there was a potato chip that came out, I want to say, maybe mid-90s, maybe a little later.
Okay.
Called O'Grady.
Uh-huh.
And they had sour cream, or they had cheddar, and I don't remember what else they had. But they were, like, thick. Uh-huh. Like a potato pancake, almost.
Right.
And they were awesome. And I think Frito-Lay bought them and then completely annihilated them. You know, like took them off the market, period, because they were eating into their market share and profits.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. But yeah, they were they were big in the 80s. That's for sure. They discontinued them in the 90s, and I don't know why. But yes, they were those extra thick, and they were very very lovely actually. And
you could taste the potato.
Frito-Lay did make them, but I don't know if they bought them or they started to make them. So that's what I got to look up to see whether that was just a line that they had come up with.
Oh, I thought they were independent and then they got bought out by.
Let's find out.
Be very wrong.
No, you could be very right. I must admit my potato chip history is greatly lacking. So let's find out how they started. It looks like it might have been Lay's. So I don't see yet anybody before that. But I'll look further. We can go back to the first potato chip, which is, of course, well before.
Is that Jay's?
No, actually, I think it's a Dayton product. Mike Sells was founded in 1910. Not to digress, but well, hang on a minute. Don't go away, and maybe I will have an answer.
No, I won't.
Stay right where you are, and we'll find out about O'Grady's. I haven't forgotten about Super Heterodyne either. All that and more. I'm going to get hungry. That's what's going to happen here on WGN Radio.
I know I done you wrong. I treated you so bad, and maybe if I left you alone, you would be so glad. And if that's the way you feel, I only have myself to blame. And darling, if we break up, it would be a doggone shame. I can't stand for you to leave me. I can't stand for you to go. I need your love to guide me, honey, each and every day. And it would surely break my heart if you were to go astray. So tell me you forgive me, baby, for all the wrong I've done. Cause now I come to really know, for me you're the only one.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Manhattans. That's Manhattans on Deluxe. Yeah, which is where they were right after Carnival and did some good things like this. Yeah. Martha Taylor wrote that 1971. It did not chart. I can't stand for you to leave me. All right, so 888. We will talk more about the Manhattans, I promise. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And Sherry is in Naperville, and we've been talking with her. And so here is the deal. The O'Grady's were a product of PepsiCo. Now, here's how it happened. Originally, in 1932, Fritos started in San Antonio. Same year, Lay's started in Nashville. In 1961, they merged. In 1965, PepsiCo bought them. Then, in February 1984, Frito-Lay test-marketed O'Grady's in Omaha. It did so well that before the year was over, they brought it out nationwide. Well, it wasn't a decade before they took it off the market. One of the products was, of course, the profit margin in O'Grady's was not as great as some of the other Lay's varieties, and it was eating into other low-cost Lay's profit margins, so they just yanked it.
Yes.
That's the history.
Oh, thank you. But it was a wonderful nice thickly cut chip.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. You know, there was something else that came out around the same time in the 80s called Tato Skins. And I don't know what...
Tato Skins?
Yes, they were terrible for you.
With the Fridays, like, logo?
Well, I don't remember what...
Oh, no, was it the yellow bag?
No, I have no idea what the color was. But in any event, I loved these things. But every time I'd
eat... I think that we still have them. We can get them at a Dollar Tree.
I don't know, but all I know is that every time I'd eat them, I'd just love them, but I'd always get sick. And finally, I was at KOA in Denver. My producer grabbed the bag from me, and she looked at it, and she said, well, here's the problem. It has TBHQ. And I said, what's that? She said, totally bad health quality. That obviously wasn't the problem. But I figured, you know, if I'm getting sick every time I eat them, I realize
Did you eat the jalapeno ones? No, I'm a
purist. I like things that aren't flavored that way. But the problem is, what I realized is they were very little more than congealed oil. So probably nothing good for me. So that was the...
Well, I know there were Tato Skins in a yellow bag, and then Fridays has Tato Skins. And I get those, and it's a red and white striped bag. Well, Fridays, you know, TGIF Fridays.
Right. Dollar Tree. So. I think Keebler made them.
Oh, well... No. Yeah. So TGI, if you have a Dollar Tree near you.
No, I will not eat food that is sold in the Dollar Tree. I just won't do it. But there are people who will, but it's not me.
Well, they have the expiration dates on the back of the
bag. I'm sure they do. But no, Tato Skins were Keebler, and it was the 80s.
And I think there was a yellow bag. But the red and white TGIF Fridays bag stripes. I try those. They're very good. I like the cheddar ones and I like the plain ones. I won't ever touch the jalapeno.
Yeah.
But you won't be disappointed because they're not Keebler, which was bought out by Ferrero.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Anyway.
Yes.
The reason I called you.
Yes.
Is, and there's two C's in an E. I want to commend you. I want to compliment you. I want to exalt you as, to me, the best talk radio show call-in your listeners host ever, because you never judge us. You might hold our hands. You never shut us down. You never, you may try to help us, or you may gather others to help all of us. You are the most wonderful person on earth, and I'm sure that's why 6 ways till Sunday, John must love you this much.
Well,
and I am not kidding. I had an episode today and I was shut down, and you don't leave us hanging on the phone when we think we're still talking to you and we're not. You put up with us. You are kind. Not only that, but do you know so much about so many things? And then you might know a little about other things, but you know a little about most of the other things.
Well,
and it's like you're a professor.
Well, I thank you for all that, but the reality is, I'll turn it right back on you. It's you, the callers, who make this show, because it's your show.
No, Raleigh, if you weren't as intelligent, smart, and kind as you are, this show would never happen with all of us being so happy listening to you.
Well, it's very kind, but as I say, couldn't do it without all of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, and you're patient as well. And you've got to try to guide us without belittling us or condemning us or whatever. You know my problems, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Anyway. All right, well, good deal. That's so kind of you to say. But like I say, it's because people like you call. So keep it up, and we'll talk to you soon, Sherry.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
You and John. Bye.
All right. So sometimes I'll listen to talk radio, and I do find that hosts very often use callers almost as like foils. It's like they'll get a sentence in there and that's it. And in fairness, there were some program directors over the years who didn't want you to ever have a call more than like 90 seconds or whatever, 60 seconds, I don't know. But I remember years ago when a guy was trying to hire me, a guy named Tom Bigby, and he had all these rules. And I told him, I said, Tom, I cannot work for you. I will not abide by any of these rules. And he looked right up. I remember we were having lunch and he looked right at me. He says, there are no rules for you. You get numbers. I don't care how you do it. And so I said, can I play my bumpers too? And yeah, so because of course that's a non-negotiable. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We get to Rick in Northern California. James on the South Side. We're going to have to get to James because, of course, like I say, he needs to always be complimented for the wonderful stories he sends, even though I didn't see them yet. I'll look at them now, and we'll talk about it on WGN Radio.
Call it what you want. But I call it love.
I call it love.
You can say what you want, baby. But I still say it's love.
I say it's love.
You can sing it in a song.
Sing it in a song.
But I still sing out love. Whether right or wrong, baby,
you can tell me, baby,
I still say it's love.
I say it's love. Let it be.
Let it be.
Oh, let it
let
be.
It be. I know what's in my heart.
I know what's in my heart. I'm the one.
I'm the only one.
The only
no,
one.
I'm the only one. Tell it, who can tell it apart? You can say it's infatuation, but I'll still say that's
no, 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 no.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Sonny did it again. I call it Love, the Manhattans, 1967 on Carnival. And what a wonderful song that was. Yeah.
Yes, I still
I promise. It's a little bifurcated, but we will get to the Manhattans tonight, I promise. All right, so I've got more than an hour and a half to make good on my promise. And plenty more to play. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And James on the South Side. How's it going tonight, James?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Well, I can't complain. And so tons of links. I should have read them all, and I didn't. I love the royal family stuff. Man, that is the most dysfunctional family, and it gives us hours of tabloid joy.
Yeah, but, you know, what's so okay, I'm like wondering, Harry, you just pretty much sent yourself to a place that even Andrew hasn't really been sent to.
Yeah, yeah, but there's no facet of this that isn't good. In fact, now Prince William tells his friends his relationship with Harry is over. That, of course, portends he had one. But what I want to know, in fact, while I was looking at all these tabloid trash articles, all featuring Prince Harry, is if the royal family is so upset with him, which clearly they are, when are they going to out him as not being a royal? Because I still say, when you look at his picture and you look at the picture of his mother's lover, there's no doubt in my mind that he ain't royal.
Okay, yeah, but, you know, it's, okay, he's, okay, it would have been, I mean, here's the thing, okay, he could have had a nice, quiet life where he was.
Well, of course, but he didn't do that. But if you look at pictures of these two, and the internet is full of them, it's almost not possible to think anything but this. And so I still say, all right, when are they going to out this?
Because I think it's just simply they figure, well, it's one scandal too many. And then there's of course, there was the one story link where supposedly the LAPD's, I guess the guys who work on really deep undercover stuff had stuff supposedly on them that they were trying to manufacture things to try to basically somehow sink the queen in this.
Well, I have no idea, but I know that recently Prince Harry was supposedly attacking those rumors out front. But I don't care. I still say it's not. There are no coincidences of this depth. Come on. So where's the DNA test? I mean, if these tabloids really want to keep us surprised, I want to know.
Yeah, that's true, and of course. There's, of course, the famous, male pattern baldness thing of particular family line and the fact that he doesn't particularly have that.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, just the facial features alone. So, I want to see the DNA test.
Yeah, makes him James Hewitt. All over the place, and of course I guess you could say another thing that doesn't help is that supposedly at the time when he was where he was born, his father had wanted a girl.
Thank God they didn't go through with anything on that. But yes, apparently King Charles has made comments that Harry's real father is not him. Well, so I don't know. I don't know if this will ever come out, but I think if the royal family really wanted to distance themselves, they'd demand a DNA test.
But even Dodi Fayed's father's publicist, former publicist, basically said that Harry has put himself in a position where, let's put it this way, not too many people would want to be for all the gold in Ireland. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's interesting. Yes, it seems like of all the stories, those are the most uplifting. Though I will say, to this moment, it's a little too heavy for this show. But how the hell does a 6-year-old get a gun who's shooting a teacher in Norfolk?
I don't get it either. I'm like, Now he got a hold of his mother's gun.
Right. How did that happen exactly? That's what they need to investigate.
Yeah, and they're still, I guess, working through the details of whether or not she loses custody of him and the whole thing.
Well, we still need to know what happened, but there's absolutely a story here. Now, there was another story you sent me that Southwest Airlines really should be glad that this is out there, because at least they didn't do this. An Indian airline accidentally left 55 passengers behind after staff forgot that they were still on one of the 4 buses transporting customers to the aircraft. Now, wait a minute. They put them on a bus and they forget about them? Firstly, it's not that far, you know. I mean, 55. And the plane took off. Now that's the other thing. 55 passengers are not on board. You kind of notice that. That's a lot of empty seats. How did that plane take off?
Well, that's called basically not doing due diligence.
Yeah, we regret the inconvenience caused, I guess. So yeah, that was my favorite airline story of the day.
Yeah, that actually was at least a slightly uplifting compared to some of those stories.
Right, I know. Those are the ones we won't cover. But it's always great to see you send so many. And I can't thank you enough for all the wonderful stories.
I happened to about the eunuch and eunuchs and Kostaki.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, and that, by the way, was Monday night trivia, and that was the answer. It was the guaranteed preventative measure for male pattern baldness. That's right, castration. I saw your articles, but the studies I'm talking about occurred in the 1930s. Who on earth volunteered for that?
Okay, the only thing I could think of is that either Okay, either they found some, or I mean, I'm certain they're some. Still doing units. I'm
well,
sure still doing
well,
units. Around,
but I think these studies were in the United States of America, and I hope to hell they're not. But anyway, it was fun playing trivia, and always good playing it with you. So we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
you
good
take
deal.
Care.
You too.
Okay.
Yes, that question did get a lot of comments. It went for 2 weeks. Nobody guessed castration, but it is the only guaranteed preventative measure for male pattern baldness. Suddenly, baldness doesn't seem so bad, does it? Yeah, that's all I can come up with on that. Not bad at all. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. We'll get to Fran in Austin and Jim in New Hampshire and Mark in Downers Grove. Rick is in Northern California. So, yeah, a full board of calls. John even said this to me. He says, well, if you get a lot of calls, are you really going to get to this Manhattan story? As he saw me carrying volumes of paper in here. And I don't know. Well, there's always tomorrow night. But nonetheless, I'll get to play another Manhattan's bumper as we at least think about getting to the Manhattan's. And I hope we will coming up. In the meantime, we'll check the WGN Radio newsroom to find out what's going on WGN Radio.
This has got to be the saddest day of my life. I called you here today for a bit of bad news. I won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day. And since this is our last day together, I want to hold you just one more time. When you turn and walk away, don't look back. I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
To meet you here today, there's just so many things to say.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, Kiss and Say Goodbye has to be the signature song and biggest hit for the Manhattans on Columbia. And it was interesting. It was recorded at the same time as Hurt, which I played before, which was on their previous album. And this was released in March 1976. And it charted, and it wound up becoming the second single in music history after Johnny Taylor's Disco Lady. It actually certified for platinum sales of 2 million. Altogether sold 4 million copies. And that was at the time, of course, since then. And we've mentioned before that all of the Manhattans, the original Manhattans, are now sadly long gone. But when Blue was talking about it and he wrote it, he said he didn't write it for the Manhattans. He said, I used to get my songs a lot of times while I was asleep, and I'd wake up with melody in my head and go back to sleep, and then when I woke up for good, I'd lost the song. So on this particular song, I woke up in the middle of the night, went into my den, sat down on the keyboard so I wouldn't forget it, wrote it down, recorded a little bit of it to start off in the morning. When I woke up, I finished it. And as I say, he said, I did not write it for the Manhattans. I wrote it for a country artist, Glenn Campbell or Charlie Pride. Back then, they were with Columbia Records, as we were. And he said, I was more into writing than anything. I really couldn't envision the Manhattans singing a country song. My first arrangement was a country arrangement. And Gerald Alston said, yeah, and we didn't like it because we thought it was a country and western song, which it is, but it turned out to be our biggest hit. And then Shining Star was another perfect example, and we'll talk about that too. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just same old stuff, different day.
Understood.
Yeah. It's pretty much the way it goes. But that would be interesting to hear that song done in a country.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it. It's just so ingrained in my head the way it is, and I love it.
Right.
The way it is. And it's like, no, don't mess with it.
Well, there's so many similarities between R&B and country as far as that goes. When Barbara Mandrell did If Loving You Is Wrong, you know, I thought she did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, she
did.
They
love those cheating songs.
They absolutely, you know, that's right. Country music is...
You know, that's what happens. It seems like country music nowadays, a lot of stuff I listen to, it's got, like, squeaky clean.
Oh, no.
I'm like, Okay, I've got to put the sin and the sorrow back in country music.
Well, that's right. It's 3D music, drinking, driving, and divorce.
That's exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
What was that old song about you play a country record backwards and you're...
You get your wife back in your car back.
You
and yes,
your wife back
yeah.
in your truck and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, my CD player saga.
Yes.
It is accessible.
Okay.
I had to get Ira. I don't know if you've probably heard of Ira.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I had to get, you know, I had to call Ira and use my phone, and they told me the order of things. It's still a lot of buttons, but it is accessible. The thing to play the CDs is not a toggle.
Good.
I mean, you know, the things that I thought were toggles were not.
Good.
Anyway, now I don't know about the first one I bought, because it's, I think, a different one, but... it had just as many buttons on it. I don't think I'd buy it again if, you know, I'm thinking of
right.
one. Why did I buy this?
Uh-huh.
You know, because the sound isn't that great.
Uh-huh.
Can't
do anything about that.
Yeah, can't, you know. This full mega bass that they're supposed to have is like chipmunks.
You know? Okay, you got it. Yes, yes.
Yeah. But
does it? By the way, does it sound better if you use really nice earbuds or headphones?
Yeah, they do sound. It does sound all right with that.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'm thinking, okay, why didn't I just buy a USB CD player, plug it into my computer, and have, you know?
Right.
But I guess I wanted something I could carry around a little more easily than
exactly.
my computer.
Exactly.
But. It doesn't sound good, but at least I can hear the CDs I haven't played in years, and I'm trying to get my hands on. I don't know. I found all the Rupert Holmes stuff I was looking for,
yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out if any of them are still out on CD, and can I get them?
That's an interesting question. Of course, some of it was never out on CD, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm probably...
But you know,
crime. I don't know if that was a CD.
If you want to take the time, you can probably download everything on YouTube that you want and burn them to your own CDs.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I'm not sure how to do that. I'm not really good at that. I don't know how to download from.
Yeah, there's a lot of rippers. There's a lot of rippers. I don't really like any of them. I tend to just prefer to go ahead, find out what I want, and record it. While I'm listening to it, and I usually use something like WavePad to, you know, I'm sure there are many other programs too to record it, and that way I've got a lot better quality than any of the rippers would give me.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I've got to learn how to do that. I'm just now getting my computer fixed where I can play music again. I had trouble with Winamp.
Oh.
And it just went to where it would just play maybe a few seconds of a song and then stop.
Here, Partners in Crime,
and,
audio CD. There was one for $50. I ignored that. But here, $17.50. More buying choices. So two new from $15.90 plus shipping. Let's see the two new. $15.90. They want $6.50 delivery. So it depends how much you like this, but they'll get it there in February. And so that's Partners in Crime. So I would think probably that was an easy one because of course it had hits.
That's why I said that's why I mentioned that one.
Yeah, that one's easy. But you know, of course, Columbia never did release the three albums. Although here's one of the songs that sound like movies, complete epic recordings, and Rupert Holmes supposedly released this. Well, audio CD, 2451. Let me see what it's got on it, because that's disc one, widescreen, terminal, second saxophone, Phantom of the Opera, Talk Baghdad, National Pastime, Letters Cross in the Mail, soap opera, psychodrama, terminal, and so good. You've got all that. Disc two, Too Scared to Sing and Brass Knuckles, and You Burned Yourself Out in Decolette. lady, I don't want to hold your hand, rifles and rum, studio musician, everything gets better when you're drunk, the man behind the woman, the place yeah. where failure goes. Yes, that's the second album. Now, let's see, disc three, who, what, when, where, why. Okay, so it is the three epic albums, and that's only $24, and that's a good price.
Wow, that is good.
Yeah,
and that's
so,
where?
Amazon, Amazon.com, and it's just Rupert Holmes' Song That Sound Like Movies, Complete Epic Recordings, box set. So how about that?
That's good, because, yeah, I don't know when I'll get able. I've got this new music player, and we don't know how to do anything with it yet.
Uh-huh, so. Exactly. Well, I'm looking here. I think there's quite a bit of Rupert Holmes stuff on Amazon. Full Circle, how about that? I didn't expect to see that album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So yeah, that has some interesting stuff on it. One more in every minute. It looks like you can probably get them all.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's one I haven't been able to find, and I don't know what album it's on. It's Too Scared to Sing.
Oh, yeah. No, that may actually be on one of those Epic albums. Let me look. I know, because I play that on the air quite a bit. But let's go back and see if it's on that Epic album here. It may be. Come on, show me the track list again. No, not pictures. I don't want pictures. Can't do a damn thing with your pictures. Show me the track
list. I can really relate to that song, because, you know, this many times I've had to perform, and I'm thinking...
Yeah, it's on disc two, because that's on the second Epic album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
All right.
Too Scared to Sing, Brass Knuckles, You Burned Yourself Out, Deco Lady, I Don't Want to Hold Your Hand, Rifles and Runs, Studio Musician, Everything Is Better When You're Drunk, The Man Behind the Woman, Place Where Failure Goes, which you know is my favorite, Queen
Oh,
Bee,
God. Oh,
Love Out of Time. Yeah, the One of Us, Lullaby for Myself, You Burned Yourself Out. So, yeah, there it's all on this. So
okay, I'm getting that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am definitely getting that.
Yeah, so that's a good
right.
deal.
All right, made my night telling me about that. Yeah. I've been trying to figure out how to get those. So
right, well, and you, and all the others looks like they're there too. And it's also the kind of thing where if you say to yourself, you know, I want to wait or whatever for whatever reason, then by all means you can look for cheaper prices, because that happens quite a bit. But in fact, I'm going to order one of these right now. I was going to order two, but I'm not. I'm leaving one for you. So you have to...
thank you.
Yeah, I am doing that right now. I just ordered the Rupert Holmes CD, because, you know, I've got them all, but hey, you can't have enough.
No, that's true.
That's right. So
totally different subject, the potato chips.
Yeah.
They got the O'Grady-type potato chips, but they're calling them kettle chips now.
Yes, kettle chips are nice. Not exactly the same, but yes.
Yeah, but they're thick like that, and
right.
really taste, you know, I mean, who knows? I don't think there's any potato in potato chips, but
yeah,
they're made out of.
Yeah, Kettle is a brand, of course, and they have a number of different chips, and yeah, they are lovely. But who's met a potato chip they don't like? I mean, come on. But, sure, they are available. But I know, I hate it when there's something you like, because when, I guess this was like the late 50s or so, when Sputnik went up, they had these wonderfully thick potato sticks. They were sort of like the O'Grady's. They were that thick, but they were in a potato stick shape, and they called them Spudniks, like Sputnik.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. And I just love these. You know, they were in cans, and I used to get these Spudniks, and then they went away. And I know there are different products now that call themselves Spudniks, but it's not the same.
I hate that too. I get to like something, and then it's gone.
Right.
And.
Right, exactly. Breaks my heart.
Or they change something about it, and it's like, this is just not quite
what
I wanted.
I remember for years I used to like Kix cereal back in the day. I really liked them. And one day I got them, and they just tasted awful. They were terribly sugary all of a sudden. And so I called them. And back then, when you really got people on the phone. And she says, oh, no, ma'am, none to worry. There's no more sugar in it. We just put it all on the outside so it tastes like it. I said, that's the problem. And
oh, that totally ruins the taste.
Exactly. Yeah. I said, that's exactly what I don't like. I'm not saying you put more sugar in it. It's just I can taste more sugar. Get it out of there. And
Yeah,
and there was absolutely nothing that they do for me. And to this day, I don't eat them because they are sweeter. And it's like, no, what is this thing for sweetness? You know?
Yeah, they seem to make a lot of things sweeter, and you can't even tell. You look at, you know, because now I can read some of the labels and stuff with, you know, my phone.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I don't really know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if I want to know this, what this stuff
right.
is.
Right.
You know, I like it, and I don't want to give it up. And if I know what's in it, I might.
Well, yeah, there are things that, yes, you see the label, and you know there's a ton of words that you cannot pronounce. So, you know, if you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't eat it, so better not to read it.
Right. Well, I've heard about how they, you know, they really do a lot of research and testing and to make things that are addictive, that you want more
right.
of.
Well, yes, and health.
And they have absolutely, you know, no yeah. nutritional value
right.
whatsoever.
Right. But. Oh, sure, sure, of course. That's absolutely the case, and we fall for it every damn time.
Oh yeah. So. Oh yeah, I love my junk food. I'm a junk food junkie.
Well, of course, of course, absolutely. All right.
But I'm eating more pretzels than potato chips, so I think that's good.
Well, that's healthier. Yes, yes, I.
Yeah, because sometimes I think potato chips are too greasy for me. You know, which is weird because maybe my tastes are changing because that was what I like about potato chips.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Wait a minute. They're supposed to have. Yeah, right.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
But I've been trying to cut back on some of that stuff, and I guess, you know, maybe my taste buds, I don't know, whatever happened. But I'll take it if it doesn't makes me want to eat less grease, but I love it.
Yeah, well, yeah,
know.
Of course. If life is too short, you know, I'm with you.
Yeah. What is it? Who is it? Somebody said something, anything that was any good was illegal, immoral, or fattening. Was that?
I don't know, but it's true. Whoever said it was absolutely
it
right. Absolutely
it.
Right. And on that note, yeah.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Thanks, Fran. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Bye, Raleigh.
All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, more Manhattans. I mentioned Shining Star was another one. In fact, it was Gerald Alston who said our two biggest hits were country. They were C and W tunes. And Bobby Eli, a tremendous guitarist and songwriter, of course, from Philadelphia, who played guitar in the beginning of that introduction, confirmed that. He said it sort of did have a country feel to it. I just did it from the top of my head. It hit me at the time. And after we finished the track and we're on our way to the control room, Ronnie Baker, the bass player, got up and started laughing. He said, man, what's with this country and Western stuff? And he took his music paper and made believe he's wiping his butt with it. He said, it's never gonna sell. Well, obviously, boy, was he wrong. And initially, they never chose to make that an A-side. The company chose it. They liked it. The Manhattans liked it, but they didn't see it as an A-side. And Blue had mentioned, you know, this is the disco era, and we didn't want a ballad during the disco era. But it sure didn't matter, because that song went to number 4 on the R&B charts and 5 on the pop charts. And it was Blue that did the background parts, and Bobby Martin did the arrangement, and they all went to Gerald Alston and said, this is strictly a country song sung by a black person. And that's the order they gave him as far as that goes. And LeBaron Taylor, who at the time was head of CBS's Black Music Division, was saying, releasing a first single from an upcoming album with white appeal as well as black appeal makes sense. And they wanted to go to it. They wanted to break it on black radio, build sales into the 500,000 range, and then aim the hit at mainstream audiences. But, of course, it was even bigger than that. Of course, Kiss and Say Goodbye even more so, but that was the deal. All right, so it was interesting, more of what they say, and we'll talk more about that when we do the Manhattans. Although I think probably when I actually get to this, and I hope it'll be tonight, but if not, it'll be tomorrow night. I can see that coming already. But we'll focus on the Carnival period, because you know that's my fave. Yeah, I don't care when the hits were. The Carnival stuff was just the best. All right, so we'll kick it off with Rick in Northern California. What's up tonight, Rick?
How's it going, Raleigh?
All right. How about yourself?
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's amazing. Some of those groups like the Manhattans and then also Spinners, OJs, Blue Notes, they were charted, stiffing, flopping, maybe scoring on the R&B chart for like over a decade before they finally got onto the mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, it took them to early to mid-70s, and also certain record companies and certain songwriters. It just got them on the chart, got them a streak of hit records. And it's amazing how far that goes back, you know, as far as tracing them, you know, late 50s. You should do sort of after the Manhattans, do something on the Blue Notes.
Oh, God, yes, I know the Blue Notes very well. Yeah, all right. Well, I promised I'd also do the Whispers. And, of course, with Gordy's death, it's probably fitting we do that. But I'll write it down. And I'm not sure. I say I'll get to the Manhattans tonight. I'm not 100% sure. But if I don't, then I'll just open the show with it tomorrow, no matter what.
Right. I think the Blue Notes would take half your whole show. They got a long history.
Oh, do they ever? Yes, and long before Harold Melvin, of course.
But long before Teddy Pendergrass.
Of course, I mean, all of that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so forth. Well, I picked up a, you know, out of impulse. I was just happy, you know, selling something else. And, you know, I was coming across and said, this looks like a pretty decent price. And he had 30 to sell, and there was one left. And apparently I did take the last one at a good price. And I picked up a Whistler desktop mobile scanner, police scanner.
Uh-huh.
And we talked a little bit about the police scanners and so forth. And, you know, I basically, it's so different. You know, you got to really program these things. They're like,
well, that's right.
Software.
You really have to program. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there. It is not for the faint of heart. I'll tell you, as soon as you see the word trunking, realize you will be descending into hell as you program this. I'll get back to Rick. We'll get to Mark. We'll get to Jim and you two next hour. And hopefully the Manhattans on WGN Radio.
Here, let me
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Phil Terrell. And if you're saying who, you're not alone. He was another Carnival recording act. In fact, he got on a label because of Blue, who we knew, who introduced him to Joe Evans, who owned Carnival Records. And not only did he get three or four singles out of there, but he also did a lot of backup singing, and including some of the Manhattan stuff. And he was in contention to be the lead when Smitty took sick, but didn't come to pass, but did a lot of work for them. All right, so 888-876-5593. We left Rick in Northern California with his scanner, programming from hell. Good luck, Rick.
I've done this before. It's just, you know, just recollect memory of trying to go ahead and, you know, program. The good thing here is my police department is still on the basic, you know, type 1A Motorola
right.
programming. And it's no sense of having a trunk. Now, you could go to Sacramento, they have trunking systems, but it's
yes.
also analog.
Yes.
And, I know how trunking works. It's like a bank. You go to one teller, she puts up, she's going to lunch, you go to the next one. You know what I mean? It's just.
Well, yeah, yes, as long as you do it four times in a minute, yes.
Right, right. You know, the whole thing about the trunking was to save frequencies, and there were everybody from Joe's plumbing to so-and-so air conditioning. They had guys out there on trucks. Now they use cellular phones, and they're not out there with their basic two-way radio
right.
with a tape recorder recording, you know, a log of everything. They got rid of all that type of stuff.
Yes.
But, this one here has, you know, features and some of the stuff. I mean, I like this, you know, the Skywarn button and the sweeper that's going to, if you go by a mobile transmitter, a tower, it'll pick and store that frequency up or something. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And
yes.
then you can look up and see, even though it's a transmitter, it doesn't have to be a radio station. It could be, I don't know, a cell phone tower that could be, belonging to Verizon and,
right.
Or it could be, again, a utility or government or something. You know what it is.
Sure.
And that's the thing. It's just, I mean, I always was. It is something I'm going to have to look at and program. I mean, I get some of the things, you know, it picked up the local police. And that's
mm-hmm.
mostly what I'm really going to use it for. Again, a lot of things as far as everything from DMR to NXDN, I don't think that has that one in, but that's basically where they could talk together. If one's a little bit more narrower in the frequency than the other, or I should say the bandwidth talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't want to get up some of these other people listening saying, well, what's he talking about? But, I mean, I just went over and I decided to pick up a police scanner and I'll just put it to my desktop. So, you know, for the night, I don't sleep so easy. It'll put me to sleep by listening. And I guess it's becoming more and more important too, because, you know, you're going to get, we got the rains and people getting flooded out.
Sure.
You can hear all of them.
Absolutely.
Fires.
Yeah.
You know, we've had more fires. I'm going to hear that. I can hear who got bounced out of the local bar as well. And
yeah, that's the entertainment portion of the scanner. Yes,
right. You know, I used to be really at one time into that, where I'd go on the roof and put up a ground plane antenna to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope now the good thing too, living out here more toward the boondocks, I'm not going to be hit with those old Motorola paging scanner, you know, paging signals.
Yeah.
Boy, did they used to intermod like crazy. I don't know why. I mean, I used to work for a company where I would go out and have to go to the businesses and change out their, their crystal or their whatever, take off their antenna, which is the handle that goes onto their belt. And remember those old type of Motorola paging scanners?
Oh, yeah.
Go back to the late 70s?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And boy, I had a thrill. I would go on. We had some voice frequencies, too, and I would program it on the scanner, and I would just leave a message and hear myself being played back on the voice scanner. That was the first thing of, the first way to start a broadcasting career or whatever. And, also, just, I don't know. I just decided to pick that up and so forth. And wanted to also mention, That you had an earlier caller. I heard you guys talking about, you know, television and nobody's really watching TV. And that's kind of, again, I mean, we've talked about the demise of both AM and FM bands. Television, you know, I'm so behind on watching my two or three TV shows. Like, it doesn't matter anymore whether I stream it. I wonder if anybody else is really watching TV with so many different things to do today.
Well,
I'm behind.
I think a lot of people are watching, but not necessarily over the air. In fact, probably not over the air. And the other thing, like you mentioned, being so far behind, the idea of time shifting is pretty much the norm now. So I'm not sure that there's less consumption of it. I was never a big consumer to begin with, to say the least. But I think that the idea of I'm going to find out what time it's running and I'll make sure I have an appointment to watch it, I don't think that's happening as much anymore. And I do think people are listening to streaming when it's convenient for them.
Well, I understand that the, let alone certain sports leagues, but TV, late night TV, starting with the Jimmy Kimmels and some of these other, the other guy from SNL, I can't come up with his name right away. And it shows you how much their ratings, all these talk shows lately have been in the tank, really declining. Yeah. And, wondering, what are they going to do? I mean, they are really showing even the number one talk late night show has been declining, and with the other ones behind. And NBC, of course, I think we mentioned it before, might get rid or talking about getting rid of that 10 o'clock hour. But now what do they do between 11:30 and 1 o'clock? Because the shows, no one's really into the late night talk shows as much either.
Well, I think there's a big problem coming up in terms of advertising, because whether it's fewer viewers, which of course is the death knell right there, but or people who are going to appointment watching television when they want to see it, how many of those commercials are they watching? And television has the same disease that most radio stations do, where they're clustering, you know, several minutes of spots. And you wonder with shifting, how valuable are those spots? So I think there's a lot. A lot of things coming up, and again, as streaming becomes ubiquitous, and we're not there yet. We're on our way. It's certainly more used, but we're still not. I would not say it's an equal comparison yet. But when it is, I'm not sure what terrestrial television and many of the terrestrial stations, of course, are not relying on that exclusively. Also, so I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I do think that advertisers are going to have a lot more options.
Well, I noticed one thing. Now, more of my TV viewing has been YouTube. And I watch real people who have their own local or, you know what I'm saying, good amateur talent is what I'm saying. And I find I get so much more information from them than I'm getting anymore from basic terrestrial radio or television. And, I mean, these are real people not giving you their bias. And even with the limitations, sometimes YouTube and even the myth, at times they can't say this or they can't do that and go on to the other competitor, which I forgot, there's another, Rumba or something like that. Rumble. That's it. Where you can become more, you know, you're say what you want to say, more of what you can say what you want to say, so you don't get demonetized on YouTube like some of them can face. But I watch them, and I just see they. One thing about YouTube is they just blast commercials if you don't have a subscription, and they'll throw it. I got to keep my whatchamacallit, my channel selector by pushing that button to skip and skip and skip.
And sometimes you can't. But you know, if you're really a big YouTube consumer, for $9.99 a month, it's not a really prohibitive price.
But they were 60.
No. 64 gives you the local stations. That would be you'd get everything. But for YouTube that you're going online, it's $9.99 a month, and you have no more commercials.
That might be something to look at. I didn't know that. I don't want to ever.
Right.
And the thing too is, I am getting more things for practically free or nothing. Even with Comcast,
right.
I pay $40 a month, and again, they don't care. Like you mentioned. About the channel content, because most of those channels I don't care to watch.
Exactly.
And I can't And I'm getting more and more these days of, you know what I mean, the pick what you want, a little bit of groups here and there. And I'm thinking about maybe subscribing to the Paramount, which I think has the Travel Channel on there. That's all I want for $5.99. And I just haven't had a time to even watch these things or get to them, to subscribe to them. So I'm just wondering, with all these channels out there, how are they all going to survive?
Well, they won't all survive. It depends on their economic model. But the other thing, of course, is, as you know, the internet, you literally have millions of choices. So consequently, if you want to tailor it specifically to your needs, you can do it. The problem is that it eviscerates the law of supply and demand, because there's so much supply, and unless you know that it's there, unless you understand what you're searching for, there's literally tens of thousands of things that may be exactly what you want to see that you have no idea it's there.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I'm learning about that with podcasts.
Well, of course.
And, you know, what's his name? He just recently just quit a show on terrestrial radio, and he now went podcast. Such that guy. I've called a couple of times on that show before, you know, as far as if anything I needed to ask. And, well, I wanted to say, you know, kind of goodbye, which I did. And he says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just leaving, you know.
Right.
The screener told me that the reason why he left the radio thing is that there's no money in radio anymore, as far as the advertisers, especially for that show.
One of the things with a podcast, when you're a known entity, when you've already made a name for yourself in terrestrial radio or television and you know who you are, going to a podcast makes a lot of sense because you've already got a following. But there are over 5 million podcasts right now. That's a real number. It's not an exaggeration. Over 70 million episodes available right now online. And the reality is that if you were in terrestrial radio or television, people may search for you. But if you were Joe Smith of, you know, Nevada and Missouri, no one's going to find you. And so, a guy who's had a nice long run, probably Leo Laporte, I assume, but a nice long run in terrestrial radio, they're going to do very well in podcasts. But Joe Jones, you know, from Sheboygan, not so much. And so when we get to the point where we will figure out how, and I hesitate to think, I don't want artificial intelligence to figure it out for me, but when there's a way to really be able to sift through it, then the 5 million podcasts will be viable. But right now, I would say not many are. Now, some are making a bloody fortune, but percentage-wise, it's infinitesimally small.
Right. And I think another type of entertainment that's going to take over, and I'm even watching when, if there is ever a recovery in our economy, the real recovery, I would say I'd be looking at applications. And applications are going to be your AM/FM TV, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They seem to be like its own channel anymore, if you know what I'm saying, even though it's an application.
Sure. There's many things that are coming down the pike, I guarantee it. But again, regardless of what it is, content is king. And you get something truly compelling, it will be known.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Yeah. And it's funny, too. I hear some of these things, like, I never heard of these people, but the iHeart does advertise their iPods when, I guess, our station doesn't have any time to fill the stream with commercials on there. And it says, that's interesting, but I never heard of it. Where am I going to really find it? Even though I know if I really try hard, I might have to make a little bit of a project to look and search, I might find that podcast. Like, the snap of my fingers, like I would, you know, if I wanted to get a talk show host who's well-known in a podcast, I can find that in 2 seconds.
Yes, and that's exactly it. That's why I say somebody who's had a terrestrial career for 20 years, podcasting's a no-brainer. It'll do well.
Right. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a major, major different world coming up.
In every way imaginable. I won't live to see the real, real rollout of this. But, I've said all along that the advent of digital is a game changer, just like the wheel was millions of years ago.
The music industry, too, completely has changed.
Well, of course it has. And I don't even pretend to understand what a model is when 80% of your sales are streaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand some of these. I know these formats where I think I came over an article where when is it too old to program classic rock? And it's just that I think some of these guys are doing pretty well. They've been on the air in a certain market, and they're just worried now that this thing is starting to really age out, and the advertisers aren't going to come and sponsor them. But what do you go after? I don't know what you do afterwards. I understand that songs from the millennial years, the 2000s, they don't seem to do very well as far as research lately. And I can understand that had to be the worst, worst time for a music product that ever came out during that 99 to 2009 period. It was the worst.
The most distressing figure, though, is that young people today are listening to literally less than 20 seconds of their favorite songs. And so the attention span is just so minimal. And I'm sure that somebody will come up with a way to fully capitalize on it, but that's different than we're used to.
Well, here's something I could tell you one time. I was in another county only 20 miles away, and there was this Mexican restaurant type cantina that becomes like sort of a club at night, bar and bands and so forth. They had a fire, and they were shut down for a year. And, I happened to walk. I was on the main street there in downtown, and I said, oh, these guys are back up and open. And it was like between lunch and dinner. I thought I'd just go in there because I'd eaten in there more than, five or six times. And I've been there, some Friday nights and so forth. And I said, oh, you guys are back up. Everything's remodeled, looking nice and so forth. And they were saying, hi, how's it going? And it was just little small talk and so forth. I said to them, are you going to bring back those 90s bands again? And he go to me, no, they don't want groups, they want DJs. And I noticed when I have walked into some of these clubs, or whether I'm in Florida or out here, I noticed one thing: if I do recognize a song that somebody's playing, they never play the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, that's, it goes right into something else. They got to keep them right there on that dance floor. They go right into something there. It's because the attention span on those songs are just not.
And that's a whole different world than I'm used to. And you can see the television is embracing that when you look at the screens on some of the news talk type programmings. Well, they have eight things going at once, so that your attention span is hopefully a few minutes longer. But these are going to be somebody else's problem. I'll be long gone and glad of it. But always good to talk to you, Rick. Thank you.
Okay, Raleigh.
Appreciate it. So it's a very different world. And as I say, the advent of digital has been coming really since the start of the Industrial Revolution, and we're just seeing really a tip of the full digital iceberg, but it will be here. And yes, it's absolutely a game changer. I always say that human nature doesn't change, and I think that is largely true, but the way it will present certainly will change. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Lee Williams and the Cymbals. And Lee Williams was almost the replacement for Smitty on the Manhattans when Smitty got so sick. And he declined. He was a Carnival act as well on the Carnival label. But when they asked him, he said, I have an obligation to Lee Williams and the Cymbals, to the rest of the guys. I want to keep my promise. And so he elected to stay with the group. The problem problem is the group ultimately just wanted to drink wine and chase girls, and so it didn't last for very long. But by that time, they'd found Gerald Alston. Now, Phil Terrell, who I mentioned before, it was Blue who brought him the label. He was actually a cousin of Blue's, and he'd been singing as a single, but he was often the opening act for the Manhattans. And when Smitty was so ill, he'd be like the sixth Manhattan. So Blue said, well, just join us. But he said, you know, I was teaching school at the time, and it was hard to maintain an entertainment life and teach school, too. So he demurred as well, and that's when they found Gerald Alston, and that almost happened by accident. Gerald was not a newcomer in music when they first met, but he wasn't really fully established as an artist either. And so that turned out to be very good for Gerald and very good for the Manhattans, so we'll pick it up there. But I'm obviously not going to get to the full Carnival story tonight, but I will. I'll probably do that tomorrow night, and Karen in Chicago. So, Karen, there you go. Sorry it's bifurcated, but welcome back to WGA.
Thank you so much. I'm enjoying every minute of it, and I found out now how to find the different programs so that now I can listen to it again, and I can, I always like to make Braille notes and write up like a little report, especially of things that I really, really are interested in.
Yeah.
So that will be fun. I called with the information about Free 411.
Yes, what'd they tell you?
Okay, what happened, I called the Citizens Utility Board, who referred me to the FCC, and she said it's not a state issue, it has to do with licensing. So what you do is call the FCC, they'll ask you who your carrier is, you tell them what you want, they will look up your carrier, and they can tell you whether they will offer it to you or not.
Good. Now it's a question of getting a hold of the FCC. You got to have all day to wait online for that.
I have a number.
Okay. But, I mean, when you call it, you may be waiting a while before you get a real person.
Oh, no. I had no problem.
Oh, good. So what'd they tell you?
You'll get different issues. Press one for this. Uh-huh. If you hear something that you think you want, but it's not exactly what you want, it tells you to press zero. And I got an operator right away. She
Good.
Was very friendly, explained everything to me, and told me that what I have to do is I have to call Comcast and tell them I'm totally blind and I want this service.
Good. Good. And you'll get it.
Yeah, the FCC lady told me it's all about licensing.
Right.
I thought, like you, that it would depend on your state.
Yeah, I really did think that. Now, I'm glad you brought this up, because after I got off the air, when we talked to our buddy in Kentucky last night who said he had a landline, I thought to myself, not for long, because here's what happened. Last year, the FCC allowed for the end of copper networks. And so everybody is doing it, and AT&T is among them. And so anybody who is on copper now won't be soon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that's
like
it.
The one I have that will stay, right?
Well, see, you're on Comcast. You're not on copper now anyway. You are not on copper at all, so it means nothing.
Oh,
nothing
I'm
to
okay.
You. Yeah, absolutely. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. You know, you think you're like it's traditional phone, but it's the way it works is not the same. You don't have copper lines to a central office where, you know, everything is connected to a system.
Yeah.
You're ultimately going out online. It's ultimately broadband. And so that's exactly, and technically the term for that is VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol.
Oh,
but many companies do not, tell the consumer exactly what they're getting. They say, oh, yeah, it's a landline phone, but it's not a copper landline phone. It's not used in that way. And in fact, some of them are kind of novel community phone, which is available in the Chicago area. They are using, actually, I don't know that I want to do it, but they are using cell towers. But you,
I don't think I want that.
Well, right. But, I mean, you don't use, in your house, you wouldn't use a cell phone. You'd use your phone. But what I'm saying,
they're problematical. I know my cell phone drops calls and drives me nuts.
Well, And your, believe me, your quote-unquote landline service has its issues, too, because the one thing about VoIP technology is it's not full duplex. So if you've noticed, when you are talking, if somebody else is trying to talk over you, they cannot, you won't hear them. And if they are doing the same thing and you're trying to talk over them, they won't hear you because it's only one way. So it's only when one person pauses and the next person talks that it goes in the other direction.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm glad somebody brought up this business with TV. I find it so annoying. All I wanted to get the NFL Network, and they told me I'd have to take a whole bunch of channels I didn't want, pay a whole bunch of money I couldn't afford, and then pay extra to get the NFL Network.
Right, which is just garbage. That's what I mean. Ultimately, this is a huge problem. Now, I don't know if the NFL Network offers it streaming online directly, but they may.
Yeah, you can get an NFL app.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to look into.
Well, then you'll just be you'll be doing it just for them. Right, exactly. And if it's a couple bucks a month, so good enough.
Another thing I found out was I'm accustomed to using the old TV and getting my channels by crunching the numbers.
Right, of course. Of course.
Well, now, on these new darn things, the remote doesn't even have numbers on it. And I checked into it, and like RCN won't even take, if you have an old TV, they won't even deal with you.
Right.
Comcast will deal with you, and they'll hook you up. But for what you get, they charge you a fortune.
No, Comcast is traditional cable television, and it's going to be a fortune. I wouldn't even consider it.
It's nuts. I dropped it. I had it.
Right.
My roommate was he was a TV person. But after he moved, he was ill and had to move for health reasons and is now in assisted living, and I miss him terribly.
Aww.
But he was the TV person. Once he moved out, I dropped all TV, and I kept my phone and my internet. I couldn't afford it anymore.
Right. Well, that's most people. It becomes ridiculous. But if you get used to accessing things online, it can be downright cheap.
Oh, I like it a lot better too. I can get what I want.
Yeah.
And I find also with Alexa, I have TuneIn Radio, and I've discovered that they have some crazy things. Like, I can tell Alexa, Alexa, play Court TV on TuneIn, and bless my soul, I will get Court TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, you know, Alexa is always listening to you, so
she's in the living room. She can't hear me.
Oh, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. You know, in other words, if you can access it, it can hear you. But if that doesn't bother you, then, it works like a charm.
Yeah, I'm way in the back of the house. She's way in the front of the house, and that won't happen. So I'm safe. But I know I have to be fairly close to it. Alexa to get her to hear me, don't I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do have to be in range, whatever that would be.
Because I've noticed that even if it's facing the wrong way and I don't realize
it,
and I'll say, do something and it won't happen,
right.
And I'll reach over and look where it is and I'll find out that it's not facing me.
Right. So, from that standpoint, that's probably good news. But so absolutely. Now, tomorrow night, I promise you I'll go over in detail the Manhattans on Carnival.
Yeah, I'm really interested in Carnival. I love the stuff that came on Carnival.
It was the best label. That was Joe Evans. We'll talk about him. He owned the label. And he was actually older. In fact, when he died about 8 years ago now, he was 97 years old. And,
wow.
Can you
tell me how, when I want to look up Manhattan music, how can I look up the stuff that's on Carnival rather than getting the more...
Well, if you don't know, you don't know, but you can go to discogs.com. You can type in Manhattans, and when you do that, what will happen there is it will give you every album and then every single they release. So you can just say the Manhattans.
D-I-S-C-O-G-S.
Yeah, S like Sam, discos.
Yeah.
.com. And so you just write the Manhattans. Now, of course, it's not that user friendly because there are a lot of groups who've been known the Manhattans, but the first one you see, you just click on Manhattans, not the name of the album, but the second you'll see the list. And then it's gonna pull up the whole list, go past the albums, and it starts with singles. And it'll start with There Goes a Fool on Carnival, which of course the flip side of that is Call Somebody Please, my favorite.
I love that.
Yeah, well, that's the flip of There Goes a Fool.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah. And, you know, second one was I Got Everything But You. And then the third one was Searching for My Baby and I'm the One That Love Forgot, which was great. And, you know, so there's a number of stuff out there. I Want to Be Your Everything came out in 65. So, for the very first time was the first one in 1964, and it's not really worth hearing.
Boy, then, they are so good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And I will be listening tomorrow for sure.
And not only that, I've got a record to play for you tomorrow that is the Manhattans before they were the Manhattans. So,
wow.
Yes.
Now, I know there are two. There's one that ends with T-A.
Oh, no, there's a
lot. One that ends with
yes,
T-E-N-S.
But there's a lot more than that, I'm sorry to say.
Oh.
There are a lot of groups named the Manhattans, and that was one of their problems.
Oh, gracious, so. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, so we'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right, good deal, thanks.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
It. My pleasure. All right, good to hear from
work.
Karen. Thanks. I felt bad we didn't get to that segment of time, but that's all right, because, you know, you guys always come first. Stacy in Algonquin, welcome back to WGN Radio. Stacy. How are you?
Okay, hanging in there.
Good.
You know, Johnny asked me, Stacy, did you get your box?
Yeah.
So I said, yes, I did, and I told Raleigh, and I loved everything in it.
Good.
And yes. I was just going to say, too, I don't really, Raleigh died before we could get, a TV to hook up to the computer. But I always either, sometimes I go on the computer, and I go and I look in YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing on my phone.
Right.
I just watch little snippets of things
right.
or shows or prayers. I find everything on my phone.
Yeah. Well, if you can see the phone, that's great. But I do that on computer where I will look at the screen, of course. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, I do that too. And I just have a little TV for VHS.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's fine for me. I don't even watch hardly,
The local stations, and that's actually virtual now. It's not VHS after TV Repack. They all moved, but sure.
It's not really, well, it's a set my dad got, but I just can watch, I think, well, I don't know how to do the DVD thing, but I can watch my VHS tapes. So that's good for me.
Right, absolutely.
But, and I know, the 21st is when we write the check.
Yep, and on the 19th we have Mary Ann, so we'll talk about that
19th,
before.
Okay,
yeah.
Mary Ann, the 19th.
Yeah.
But, so. The girls, Tracy and Michelle happened to, I don't know, they were cleaning in the house again. And they had brought a radio Raldo had.
Uh-huh.
So I plugged it in on the table in the kitchen, and it has, like, for DVDs, so it's perfect. CDs, DVDs, so it's
right.
wonderful.
Right. Yes, it is.
So, but, it's been rough, but you hold us all up.
Well,
you've been so wonderful. Just, we've got a problem and everything. And especially it's been, I've been up and down and up and down. And I still just don't believe everything. Everything is just going by so fast.
Is it ever? Yeah.
And I try, like you say, not to look at the big picture.
You can't. It'll absolutely paralyze you if you look at the big picture.
I mean, it's just, one minute. All these years you've been with someone, I've never been, and it's so, I try to keep myself together, Raleigh.
Of course. And some days it's easier than others.
Right, I know.
And the worst part
is, to do things,
Yeah, the worst part
and,
is
oh,
that
we
you
donated
you
some more Raleigh.
Good.
Karen, my helper.
Good.
We went upstairs and we did drawers and everything, and we donated some more to
Good.
Goodwill.
Good. Excellent.
So, but thank you for
oh, my pleasure.
Keeping me, you know, together and.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're the smartest woman and the kindest, and you're just wonderful for everybody.
Well, you're very kind. I'm certainly not the smartest. If you saw me off the air, you'd know for sure that, or in the kitchen,
well,
God forbid. But in any event, I'm thrilled to be here and always glad to hear from you, Stacy.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh, and you take care, and I'll call again.
I'm counting
I'll
on it.
I'll call again.
You better.
And
right.
You have a good evening and everything, and blessings.
You too. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we'll forego the bumper because I got two people I want to talk to before the night is over, and I'm going to try to get both of them to call me back tomorrow night. So, Jim in New Hampshire, thanks for waiting, and are you going to call me tomorrow night?
Oh, I love it. We will, yes.
Well, so, but let's have a synopsis. What's on your mind?
Well, I was basically thinking about, WAIT.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to, was Mal Blair's, was he ever with them?
Who?
Mal Blair's, he was on BBM doing a talk when I left Chicago in 66, I think it was.
Right.
And that sort of thing. And I'm trying to, I think he was at AIT, but I'm not sure. Maybe someone out there knows, you know, because I'm not particularly sure. And there's one particular request I would love for you to play, because it always reminds me of WAIT.
Okay.
Summer Samba by Walter Wonder.
Oh, sure. Yes, so nice. Yes, Marcos Valle wrote that.
Yeah.
I should play you the original.
Yeah.
Cause,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool,
it's
cool.
Really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mal apparently grew up in Denver, and I remembered that.
Okay.
And, he was on the air in Chicago for 50 years. And I think
wow.
that I think he
wow.
died, and I think he died
oh,
in 2010. So you're talking a lot of time. He was at BBM. I don't know, for about 15 years. So he was originally
sure.
from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and so
man.
And so Denver and all that. And then he got to Chicago and started at BBM in 55. And
yeah, he was always one of my favorites before
right.
I left there.
And then
you know
they bought WIVS, and that was Crystal.
Okay.
That was Crystal Lake. And then they bought an FM in Woodstock, XRD, and that was sort of a family business for them. You know, his son and his wife and all that were involved, but. But yeah, so you know, Crystal Lake, of course, that's AIT as well. So what I need to do, because I remember that he bought that or put on that little AM there, and then the FM.
Right.
But I'm curious
because I always remember AIT as being on 820.
Right, right, and now not. But let's see. Let's see about IBS. I'm looking for that. And, 850, originally, and, it was before AIT, but it was the, I guess 850 started out as CLR. Yeah, there's some callers we know, but not there, in 65.
Wow.
And then when Mal left BBM, that's when, he got the call, and his deal was he wanted to reach women. And so WIVS stood for wives. And so he wasn't the original 850 owner, but he bought it. And, of course, you know, he was on Music Till Dawn and all that before that. But, yeah.
Right, right. Sure,
850,
sure.
It was 145 Virginia Street. And I know that part of their signal was impinged because of KOA, also 850. And so,
right, sure.
So that was that was the deal. But it was definitely a family business. His two sons were in the place, and his wife had been in the place, and it was sort of like an MOR. The FM was an AOR, sort of like a progressive rock at 105.5.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we can talk more about that. I hadn't even thought about that in years about Wives, but yeah, it was Wives. So,
yes.
So, yeah. And, AIT was great. I mean, even John Doremus and all that. So, yeah, we can.
I thought he was there too. I thought he was there as well because, one of the things I always remember about them was their little harp that they would play.
Well, hang on there. We're going to leave you and your harp until tomorrow night. I've just officially run out of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. And so a big apologies to Mark. I had planned to get to you in the final moments, too. So and he's got good news, he says, and I can't wait to hear it. So call me tomorrow night because 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again. Until then, we thank Dan for keeping us on the air at WGN. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling, and I will talk about the Manhattans on Carnival tomorrow, I promise. I'm Raleigh James. This is a wrap. It's WGN Radio.